Wake up, everyone. It's time for a call to action. Welcome to Call to Action Today, where there are no sacred cows, with your host, Steve Noble, just an ordinary man who believes in an extraordinary God, and he's calling you out every week to live the Christian life in your home, your work, and even in politics. Call Steve now at 877-44-TRUTH or check him out online at c2atoday.org. And now, with some much-needed cough medicine for the church, here's your host, Steve Noble.
Well, it's been a long time in the making, but today, the movie I Can Only Imagine opens nationwide all across this great country. This is Steve Noble. It is Call to Action Radio. And really just want to dedicate the show today to I Can Only Imagine. Of course, it's the song that everybody knows, but it's the story that nobody's ever heard until now. And we've been talking about it for months. Indeed, it started over a year ago when I first was exposed to I Can Only Imagine, when I had the blessing of being up on the set when they were doing the second half of their shooting up in Oklahoma City with John and Andy Irwin. And I was there and met John Michael, who plays Bart Millard, of course, the lead singer from Mercy Me, and Dennis Quaid plays his father, Arthur. And it was just amazing to be on set. And you can tell while it was going on that something special was going on here. We already knew that, of course, because when I Can Only Imagine came out like 17, 18, 19 years ago, it just grabbed everybody. And of course, the amazing thing about it is that it crossed over and it was showing up on the pop charts and on country stations. God just took it and multiplied it, as only God can do. And so the process of watching it when they were still filming and then post-production, I was down in Birmingham, Alabama, several months later last year, and was able to stop by and visit with Andy Irwin while he was working there in the studio and doing editing and working on the sound and all the other stuff. It was a fascinating glimpse into that process. But the whole thing all along the way, and then most recently there in Nashville at the red carpet premiere that they did a few weeks back. And then, of course, today, I Can Only Imagine opening nationwide. It's all over the place. You can easily find a spot to go see it for yourself. I Can Only Imagine movie.com. So you'll be able to find it's in theaters all over the place. But I wanted to go back and play some of the interview I did with Andy Irwin on set. This was a little over a year ago, just to kind of take you into that world and really just going to continue to encourage you, especially this weekend. Say, oh, I'm going to go see it next week. No, we need to go see it this weekend, because this is what really drives. It's like pushing. It's like the bobsled thing, right? In the Olympics. We just had the Winter Olympics. And with the bobsled, you got to get it running and get it going. And that really has a huge impact on how the whole race goes. That's true in the movie industry. So please get your tickets and go see it tonight or tomorrow or Sunday. We have to see it this weekend to give it that push coming out of the gate that it needs, so more and more people can get time and encounter this incredible story of redemption and what happened there between Bart and his father. So broken families, broken relationships, father and son relationships, redemption, salvation. And then another aspect of the story that I love that a lot of people haven't been talking about is this whole notion of chasing your dreams. Arthur, Bart Millard's dad, was a dream killer and was doing that to his boy since he was a wee little lad. And of course, we know what kind of talent Bart Millard has and what kind of talent Mercy Me has and what kind of success they've had and how God has used them. I think over 20 number one hits now. But he grew up in a home that was a dream crusher, a dream killer. And that's another part of this story that I love and love talking about. And I know it's going to impact people. It's impacted me personally in my dreams for this radio ministry and things for my family. That you never give up on your dreams. As long as your dreams align with the will of God and what he would have you do and what he wants in this world, then dream big, man. And don't let anybody steal that dream from you. That's another aspect of this movie that I think you will really, really be encouraged and challenged by. So this was my interview with Andy Irwin. It's Andy and John Irwin, the Irwin brothers. Of course, they did most recently the Steve McQueen movie last year with our good friend Greg Laurie, who I also happen to work for some of my time. And they did Mom's Night Out. They did Woodlawn. They did October Baby. And then, of course, I Can Only Imagine opening nationwide. I sat down with Andy Irwin on the set of I Can Only Imagine a year ago in Oklahoma City.
What was it for you guys that said, yeah, we want to do this as our next project?
You know, I think it lined up with our brand, which is a redemption brand. And, you know, we're about finding redemptive stories. But, you know, it was a no-brainer for us because, I mean, it's the number one Christian song of all time. I mean, behind, I guess, Amazing Grace. And the story that, you know, the song that everybody loves, but the story behind it that nobody knows. And so the chance to kind of get to peek behind the curtain and see what God did in Bart's life through his relationship with his father that led to the song, was just, I mean, we just were like, I can't believe this story hasn't been told, and I can't believe we're the ones that get to tell it. So as we kind of unpacked it, it is one of the most tremendous father-son stories I've ever heard. And so it's been special.
Now, is it different for you guys carrying the ball on this story because it's a very deeply personal and challenging story of somebody that you guys know? I mean, it's a friend of yours.
Yeah, you know, when Bart he selected us to tell the story. He had been to a screening of Mom's Night Out, and they had been developing his story for 4 or 5 years. And after the end of that, he said, I'm either developing my story. I would want to see if you guys would direct it. And I said, well, you know, small world, they asked us this morning if we were interested. And so when we got into it, I said, Bart, if we tell this story, I want it to be accurate to who you are. And I said, doing a movie is not doing a photograph of your life, but it's doing an intimate portrait. And it's an interpretation of all the things that have happened to you and making, you know, compressing that into a 2-hour window. And I said, I want it to be an accurate portrait. And he said, I'm up for it. And so when we got done with it, I called him and I said, you know, John, my brother John, and then Brent McCorkle made an amazing script. And after I read the last, you know, draft of that script, I called Bart up and I said, as your friend, I can say this is an accurate portrait of who you are and who you have been. And he read it. He fell in love with it. He said, I'm in. And said, I don't know what it's going to stir up in me to see it, you know, kind of come to life, but I want it to be something powerful.
Yeah.
And so that's when we started going out for finding the right guys to play the roles and the right guys and girls, and the cast that assembled was phenomenal.
Well, we're here. It's January of 2017. Last night, it sure appeared to me from the outside looking in, probably one of the most pivotal scenes in the movie.
Yeah.
And young Bart, how old is he in this particular scene?
You know, Bart at that point is about 19 years old. We kind of carry him from age 12 up through 25, but that was his senior year of high school. He's about to graduate, and it's a scene, a pivotal scene between him and his dad that was one of the, I think, one of the more special scenes that we've ever had a chance to film in our career.
That's from an interview I did in Oklahoma City a little over a year ago. I was on the set of I Can Only Imagine and sat down with Andy Irwin. And that scene between John Michael, who plays Bart Millard throughout the whole movie, except when he's a little kid. They have a different actor for that. But John Michael carries most of the movie. And that was a pivotal scene between him and his father, played by Dennis Quaid. And it was really remarkable. We'll talk some more about that scene when we come back. We're talking to Andy Irwin. I've got some more of that interview to play and some more encouragement for you. Get out to see I Can Only Imagine, a huge opening weekend. We're a part of that. We need to do that so that more and more people can hear this story of redemption, hear this story of reconciliation, broken families, broken father and son relationships, dreams, and being willing to dream big and pursue your dreams. All on Call to Action Radio today. Opening weekend of I Can Only Imagine. We'll be right back. Well, we've been talking about March 16th, 3/16, and it's finally here, opening weekend for the incredibly powerful movie, I Can Only Imagine. Of course, that's the song we all know, but it's the story that most people have never heard. And I Can Only Imagine, just a beautiful film by John and Andy Irwin, featuring, of course, Dennis Quaid plays Bart Millard. Bart Millard's the lead singer, Mercy Me. Dennis Quaid plays his father, Arthur. John Michael, who's been on Broadway and was the understudy playing Jean Valjean in Les Mis, and now he's in London, has a great role in The Book of Mormon. He is the actor, first time on film, playing Bart Millard as a young man in this incredible story. And I was in Oklahoma City about a year ago talking to John and Andy Irwin, and today just playing some clips from the interview I did with Andy Irwin. And we were talking about one of the most powerful scenes in the movie and how that all came together. This is Andy Irwin on the set of I Can Only Imagine, opening now, so get out and see it this weekend. Here's Andy.
Yeah, how was it? It was because you were looking at an industry veteran in Dennis Quaid.
Yeah.
And then John, the young actor playing Bart,
John Michael Finley,
it's almost like you've got a Pee Wee League player,
yeah.
You've got a Super Bowl MVP on the stadium floor at the same time. How do you, as a director, how do you kind of manage through that?
Well, you know, casting is really important to try to get the right, you know, you can get great actors, but getting a good cast is about the harmony and about kind of cohesion and it fitting together. And John Michael Finley, even though this is his first film, we found him on Broadway, he was doing Les Mis, he is a spectacular young actor. And whenever you put a young actor in a scene with a seasoned vet like Dennis Quaid or you know, like we did on Woodlawn with John Voight, you know, there's that moment of panic of, are they going to rise to the occasion or are they going to fall apart with the young actor? And so we did the scene, and last night this is this pivotal scene where, you know, Arthur is, you know, really struggling to find out how to kind of turn his life around, and his son Bart is having none of it, and they're really kind of butting heads, and it's a really kind of beautifully tragic scene. And we knew that we had great and good in the scene. So we had Dennis was giving a great performance, and I knew that John Michael in the scene was going to be good. But then when we got done with Dennis's close-up, we flipped around to do the close-up for John Michael, and he kicked it in another gear. And it's amazing when kind of you're in a scene with a great actor and they inspire greatness. And John and my brother and I looked at each other, and we're like, holy cow, we've got great and great in this scene. And to see these two guys go toe-to-toe, this father-son story, we just sat back like a fly on the wall, and I was just eating popcorn saying, I'm watching a movie. So it was awesome.
Yeah, it was. To watch those scenes come together last night was like, I felt like I was in the theater. Because I'm looking at it on your monitor, so you see it kind of boxed out the way you're going to see it on the screen. And then to watch those guys, to watch Dennis just disappear into the part, and then John Michael, as with each successive take. Because the interesting thing that most people don't know is how long of it was that like, to get all of those scenes last night, because I was in there the whole time. Was that like 2 hours to get off all the different angles? Because you got you're on Dennis's face, you're on John Michael's face, you're from this angle in the kitchen, and this angle in the dining room.
Yeah, that scene we started rehearsing at 2 o'clock, and we finished filming it at 8. So
amazing.
About 6 hours.
Because
so,
how long's the scene on film?
Eight minutes. 8 minutes. So it was spectacular. And just to brag on Dennis, this is a role that I don't think anybody's ever really seen him in. You know, Dennis has always been the really, you know, steady all-American guy, and is always kind of that dependable rock. And in this scene, he is in this movie. It's a gruff, vulnerable performance, and he's disappearing in the role. Where I think it's special, and so I've been really really proud of the performance that he's given in this role.
How do you guys, just in terms of directing, how do you deal with an industry veteran like Dennis? Last night when I was on the phone and talking to my family, one of my kids asked me, well, did you meet him? And I said, well, first of all, I'm not the type of person that runs up and wants to meet all the really important people. I don't mind being a fly on the wall. But when he walks into the building and walks on set, I mean, you see that industry professionalism. He's in the game.
Sure.
He's all business right then. But how do you direct a guy like that? Because I'm sitting there thinking about you guys going, well, if you start to try to tweak him, is he going to bristle with that? Or is he going to give you some room, some license there?
Yeah, it's always, you know, whenever you cast an A-lister, it's always a little bit of a nerve-wracking experience at first, where you're as a director. I mean, you're very much on equal footing. I mean, I'm directing the picture, but I mean, he's got quite the reputation, and so there's that first day where you're kind of feeling each other out of what's this relationship going to be like. And there are actors that definitely are a lot more rigid in that relationship, but Dennis has been a breath of fresh air because, you know, the first day we started talking, I said, well, you know, Dennis, our policy on our set is it's not about the way I want it. It's best idea wins. It's collaborative. So I'm going to listen to you as much as you listen to me. And he's like, well, that's great. That's how I like to work. I check my ego at the door, too. And I said, well, that's great. Let's make this character great.
Yeah.
And so he created an incredible character, and he really listened to kind of figure out how does that character fit in my movie. And, you know, when it's working well, that collaboration, that back and forth, rather than it being a tug of war, it actually makes the product better and better, and you actually build on it, and there's like an energy that both of us get out of it. So I think we're having a blast. And last night he kind of pulled me aside and said, I really love this character.
Yeah.
And so I think he's really invested a lot into it. He's not mailing it in for sure.
No, that was obvious last night, and certainly when people see this movie in a few weeks, it'll be obvious on the screen. Now, two more questions, and I know you got another scene to shoot. What's it like having to work with your brother? You're the older brother, so now you got your little brother. You got to carry him around and teach John the business and try to help him out.
It's far from that.
When you guys are like in this stuff all the time now for several years. I mean, you started with the ESPN thing illegally or whatever when you were kids.
That's a whole other story. Yeah.
But what's that like?
You know, working with your brother is beautifully dysfunctional.
That's a great answer.
We have moments where we see things differently and we butt heads. I think over the years we've really kind of learned to dial it in to where there's a mutual respect. As John's a very good filmmaker, and I feel like he would say same thing about me. But we've really realized the need and the purpose for what each of us bring to the table. John is an instigator. He's a visionary, and he kind of has these broad ideas in his head of what he feels and what he wants. And I'm a details person, and I'm a get it done, kind of implementer of making that go from a good idea to a great idea. And I think somewhere in between that, we kind of just, we need each other. And so I feel that, over the years, through butting our heads against the wall and just kind of fighting it out, we've learned how to work as a team and how to have mutual respect. And so I feel like, this one has been one of the biggest breath of fresh air that we've had in our career. I think that, there's been other brother teams that have really helped us figure out how to do it better.
Yeah.
So, like, talking with Stephen Alex Kendrick and people like that, saying, hey, how do you guys make it work? And how can we do this better? Not just with each other, but then that respect that starts with me and him then should trickle down to the rest of the crew of treating others with respect. And we've realized over the years that we need to grow in that. And so Stephen and Alex and several other individuals that have walked it have kind of given us, really candid advice on how we can do our job better. And so I like working with my brother. It's a good process.
Welcome back. It's Steve Noble, Call to Action Radio. Great to be with you as always today, talking about, well, it's a big day, March 16th. Why is that important? Well, it's 316. We know why 316 is important, John 316. But no, today, March 16th, super important because it is the nationwide opening of the incredible new movie by the Irwin Brothers, I Can Only Imagine. Of course, the song we all know, but the story most of us have never heard. And it's an amazing story about Bart Millard, who's the lead singer of Mercy Me, and his father, Arthur, who was just a nasty monster kind of a father, and the brokenness and all the pain and the disappointment from that. And then this incredible turnaround in his dad's life and Bart getting started in his music career and Mercy Me struggling and how they get discovered. And then just like Amy Grant said in the true story and in the movie, when she asked Bart about the song and he goes, well, it took about 10 minutes to write the lyrics. The music took about the same. And she said, no, Bart, you didn't write this song in 10 minutes. This took a lifetime. And you remember the first time you heard I Can Only Imagine. And most of us, and not just in the Christian world, it crossed over pop charts, country, western, just amazing what God did with I Can Only Imagine. So the incredible story behind the incredible song opening nationwide today, I Can Only Imagine .com, I Can Only Imagine movie.com, and you can find a theater near you. It's playing all over America, so definitely get out. This is a huge, really important, the opening weekend really sets the stage for how well this movie is going to do in the future. And I'm going to play some interview time that I had with John Michael, who plays Bart Millard in the movie. His first movie, though, he's been on Broadway. But I'm going to finish up the conversation I had with Andy Irwin of the Irwin Brothers. And we were talking about just working on a movie set with people that aren't necessarily Christians. I asked Andy about that. He had a great answer. We'll check that out now.
Okay, so faith-based film, you're both followers of Christ, love the Lord, but not everybody on the set, not everybody on the crew, not every actor is the same. So how do you kind of deal with that? Like Dennis Quaid, I don't know anything about the guy's faith. He was in one other kind of faith-based movie, sure, when he did Soul Surfer. But how do you kind of manage that as a Christ follower when you're working with people that necessarily aren't, and some people that are really far away from God and others that are walking with him? How do you kind of manage that? What do you see your role as just an ambassador of the gospel to work through a movie with a mixed group?
For us, it's a real embracing of what our brand is and what our calling is. John and I feel very called to preach the gospel to people outside the church through the power of true stories, finding this power of testimony, introducing somebody to Christianity that may not understand it in a way that's palatable and that can plant a seed that then can be watered and harvested. And so we are firmly 100% a redemption brand. So we actually think of it opposite. Instead of just going out and finding Christians to work with, we love working with Christians, but we actually go seek out the rough characters and the people that that may not typically be in a faith film, whether that's in our casting or whether that's in our crew. We really like to accept people where they're at and just love on them. And there have been those that I've talked to in the past that have said, hey, I don't know if I want to be in that film or work in that film because I feel like I'd be, you know, too big of a hypocrite. We don't accept that answer. I'm sorry. I mean, we're a redemption brand. We love you where you're at. And the gospel is good news to sinners, of whom I'm the chief, you know. And yeah. And so that's the kind of stories we tell. That's the kind of way we like to work. That's the gospel that I need to hear because I'm,
amen,
you know, flawed. And so come Christian or not, be a part of what we're doing. And hopefully along the way, we encourage you and we influence you.
Yeah, making movies with the same kind of people that Jesus broke bread with.
Absolutely. That's the deal.
That's awesome. Andy Irwin, thanks, man.
All right, man.
And that was from my interview with Andy Irwin on the set of I Can Only Imagine about a year ago. It's January of 2017 and opening nationwide today, ICanOnlyImagine.com, and you can get your tickets. It's playing at theaters all over America. And again, I just wanted to stress, please, please, please get out and see I Can Only Imagine today, tomorrow, Sunday. Opening weekend determines a lot about how it's going to do in the future. And believe me, this movie is so powerful. It is so impactful, whether it's the gospel, reconciliation, having the courage to pursue your dreams, seeing a family come back together. It's really an amazing, amazing story. Very, very powerful. Went on that same trip out to Oklahoma City a little over a year ago, I also sat down with John Michael. Now, John Michael, many ways, you'll hear this in a second, his story parallels Bart's in terms of he was involved in athletics and then all of a sudden kind of got roped into a music class and then discovered he could sing. And John Michael could sing well enough that eventually ended up on Broadway. He was an understudy for the Jean Valjean character in Les Mis. And today he's in London, has a great part in the Book of Mormon playing in London. So phenomenal talent. And I was able to sit down with John. This was his first movie, so kind of a wild experience, and asked him about that, as well as his life getting into music. Here's what John had to say. John Michael, who plays Bart Millard in I Can Only Imagine.
And this movie is like your first time on a movie set, isn't it?
First time on a movie set, yeah.
So what's this been like for you?
Kind of freaking out a little bit. It's been incredible for me. You know, as an actor and an artist, it's cool because I'm learning a lot. And I'm discovering new things and kind of learning new stuff as a person. You know, like I grew up watching movies and I'm a fan and I will always be a fan. So I'm also, you know, kind of geeking out a little bit, seeing how the cameras work. And, you know, there's actually someone that goes, action,
yeah,
know,
a little bit, yeah,
lights and booms,
right,
and stuff.
All
so
stuff.
All that, I'm like, they're like, okay, man, you got to stay in character. And I'm like staring at everybody. You know? So it's, I'm here as a fan, but I'm also here as a, as an actor who's trying to get better always, every day.
But you've moved from Broadway,
correct,
to film. So talk about Broadway, because you're a pretty young guy in your late 20s.
Correct.
But you were a big-time, you know, athlete back home. And then all of a sudden the athlete, the jock, becomes a singer and a performer and now,
yeah,
a movie guy.
I don't know if I was a big-time athlete, but I certainly played sports. Yeah, I played baseball, football, soccer as a kid, and I wrestled as well. You know, my family, we grew up around sports, so my background is sports. You know what I mean? We didn't go see musicals and plays, and we, you know, I feel like there's always music in the family, but not singing. Like, we weren't necessarily around trained singers. My mom has a beautiful voice, and you know, she did choir as a kid, but, you know, we just weren't interested in that kind of stuff. My dad loves to sing, but, you know, he's not what you would call a trained singer. But, you know, we grew up with music in such a fun and loving home that it was always acceptable, but I never thought about doing it as a, not even a hobby.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, it's just music. You listen to music on your CD player or whatever. So, you know, I grew up with sports, and that was always, you live and die sports. So I always thought from a very young age that I would be an athlete one day.
So how did music get on your radar screen? How did you discover that you had that in you?
Sure. I think in junior high, junior high was when we started to kind of get you geared up towards high school, you know. And I'm pretty sure towards the end of our sixth grade year, they had us fill out a sheet of paper. And I think they had like 15 to 20 electives listed. And you were to number them 1 through 20. And they were all kinds of things, from pottery to home ec to choir to guitar lessons to band, art, whatever it may be. All these different types of electives. And so I numbered them 1 through 20. And I'm pretty sure choir was probably somewhere around 18, 19, or 20. Was certainly not interested in choir or band. I get my schedule for 7th grade, and there's choir. And I threw a little bit of a tantrum, and one of my good friends, her mother was one of the secretaries in the office, principal's office. So I went straight to her,
right,
my only connection.
It's about who you know.
I was like, get me the heck out of here. I play football. You know, there's a line in the movie. It's like, I'm a Millard. Millards play football. Millards do not sing. And that was probably word for word what I said.
Wow.
You know, like, I'm a Finley. I do not do choir. This is not...
Look at me, I'm a football player.
I'm also a pain in the butt, so I'm not just going to sit there and take it quietly. Like, I'm going to make them miserable, you know what I mean, if you put me in this class. And basically, after a few days of frustrating talks, she's like, there's nothing we can do. We made everyone's schedule. If I change everyone else's schedule to change yours, it's not going to work that way, so I'm stuck in choir. And the first few weeks, I just sit there with my arms crossed, making sarcastic comments, just being a jerk jock,
you know
what I mean? Being that
stereotypical to the nines.
Being that dude that, like, is too cool for school. And I wasn't. No one was. And we had a really, really incredible choir teacher in junior high. His name was Jeff Lackey. And we haven't spoken in quite a long time, but he was such an incredible influence on me. He took all the guys out into the hallway one time to give us a little pep talk. Because we weren't singing the way he wanted us to sing. Probably a little bit of my fault for being a stick in the mud. And he gave us this big, long speech. I don't remember anything he said. But the one thing I do remember, the very end, he goes, oh, yeah. Plus, girls love guys that sing.
And so there you go. That was the start of young John Michael's illustrious career. Led him to Broadway and led him to the movie I Can Only Imagine. Some more from John and some final encouragement and challenge for me when we come back in the last segment of the show. This is Steve Noble. It is Call to Action Radio. We'll be right back. Welcome back. It's Steve Noble, Call to Action Radio. Great to be with you again. And today, March 16th, the opening day of I Can Only Imagine, the incredible movie that tells the just remarkable story behind the incredibly successful song. Behind Amazing Grace, I Can Only Imagine is the number one selling Christian song of all time. So, of course, we all know the song, but very few of us know the story. And the story is all about redemption. It's about hope. It's about reconciliation between a father and a son. And but it's also about dreams and dreaming big and dreaming into the way God made you. And so there's all kinds of messages here. Incredibly well acted. John Michael, who I'm going to get back to his interview here in a second. Classically trained, incredible voice, but really Broadway. He was trained for classical theater, Broadway. And so doing a movie like this and singing, which he sings in the movie, it was very different for him. But a young guy in his late 20s and is on his own faith journey. You'll hear about that in a minute. But he's just fantastic. I mean, he just hits this out of the park. Like I said, he's classically trained as an actor and a singer on Broadway. But for his first film, it's just a remark. He's really, really funny. There's some really hilarious lines when I've seen the movie like 5 times now. And several times with the audiences, test audiences and stuff. And the audience is laughing along. There's a lot of tears, a lot of sniffing and crying towards the end of the movie. And John Michael just knocks it out of the park. But Dennis Quaid also. You know, Dennis Quaid has played a lot of kind of all-American parts and the good guy and the hero. I haven't really seen him in a part that's dark like this. He plays Bart's father. Bart Millard, the lead singer of Mercy Me, plays his father, Arthur, who was literally just like a monster. for a good chunk of Bart's young life up until he got cancer. His dad did, and Bart in his 20s. And that's when God just does this miracle in his father's life. And Dennis Quaid, my youngest daughter, who's 13, is like, doesn't like... She's like, I don't like him, Dad. he's so nasty and so mean and just he just bugs me. And he's super believable, but it's a Dennis Quaid you're not used to seeing. And then to see it turn around, and there's a scene right near the end of the movie that Dennis Quaid is in. I don't want to ruin it for you, but the change that occurs there in this father-son moment and an eternal type of impact. And, you know, Bart wrote that song. I can only imagine what it'll be like when I walk by your side. He's talking about his father as well as Christ in heaven. And it is such a power. I get chills right now just talking about it. It is such a powerful scene. And Dennis Quaid just, it's absolutely remarkable. And like John Michael, Dennis Quaid is on a spiritual journey and he's asking a lot of questions. It's opened up some doors and some things in his life that he hasn't dealt with in a while, it seems like. I've been around him a couple times, not one-on-one, but in the same room and listening to him talk through this stuff. And God is using this movie already in the lives of the actors and the people in the crew, and I know he's going to use it in your life and in the life of people that you'll bring. So I'm going to continue to strongly encourage you. Tonight's super important. Tomorrow, Saturday, Sunday, opening weekend of I Can Only Imagine, super important in order to propel it forward. Remember our little example of the bobsled team. You got to get this bad boy flying out of the gate. And that way, I'll stay in the theater longer. This is, I think it'll definitely be the biggest movie that the Irwin boys have done, John and Andy Irwin. Woodlawn was a huge success, obviously, but I think this is going to probably double the sales that they've ever seen. I think Woodlawn did 20, 25 million. I wouldn't be surprised to see this do 50 million. So we want to see that, not for the money, we want to see it for the impact. John Michael's going to talk about impact here in a little bit, but I was talking to him about it and his experience in making a movie versus Broadway and then what it was like to be involved with a Christian movie. He shares a little bit about his own story and his hopes and dreams for this movie. And again, it's super powerful. And several of the people that I've seen it with, one of the last screenings we did here in Raleigh, people were texting me and sending me notes on Facebook and even the next day saying, you know what, Steve, this brought up some things in my life I haven't dealt with in a while, but gave me great hope. Broken relationships, people that are lost that you think would never come to Christ. There's just that kind of miracle happened. This isn't a made up story based on a made up book. This is a true story based on Bart Millard's life and his relationship with his father, and incredibly impactful. And I know you're going to love it. But I was talking to John Michael. We were on set. This is about a year and a half ago, and the quality is not great. We were sitting in a tent where they do the food and everything, so the quality is not great, but the content certainly is. Hearing this young actor, this young man, getting caught up in a story like this and playing the part that he did and singing and being involved in a faith-based movie. So back to my conversation with John Michael, who plays Bart Millard in the movie I Can Only Imagine.
Now you grew up, stable home, great parents, great dad.
Relatively stable.
Relatively stable. We have a little thing in our bathroom downstairs where it says, as far as anybody knows, we're a nice, normal family.
Exactly. No, my parents are incredible and my family's incredible.
So you grow up with that. Yep. Bart didn't. People, when they see the movie in a few weeks, will see that he comes from a really broken upbringing.
Absolutely.
And I watched one of the pivotal scenes you guys were filming last night, this interaction between you and your father, who's played by Dennis Quaid. And how do you get yourself into that place emotionally? And I watched the range change. You played it a few different parts.
Yeah, yeah.
Anger came out a little bit more. Brokenness came out a little bit more. But towards the end, I mean, you were fully engrossed. I would call it totally authentic. It was very believable. And
yes.
I'm a cynic. And you did a fabulous job. How do you put yourself in that place?
Well, just like you mentioned, I think it takes time. You know, just like anything, people are always looking for shortcuts. They're always looking for the easy way out. And I am too. I'm always looking for the easy way out because, you know, it's natural to do that, but it takes time. Sometimes you have to sit in it and give it time. And luckily, John and Andy and Dennis, who was incredible, they were all patient. And it took time. It took some time to get there. But Bart's a human. That I can connect with.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Have I written a number one hit song? No. Have I toured all over the world? No. Was my father abusive to me? I'm very lucky to say no. So in those ways, I can't connect with that. But what I can connect with is hurt and pain and fear and love and shame and guilt.
The human condition.
What you connect into.
Yeah, we all have that in common. Well, what about the fact that this is a faith-based film? What's that been like for you? Does it affect how you approach your job playing Bart. What's that environment like for you?
The environment's awesome. You know, I try not to let it affect me, and I don't mean like push it away. I just mean that, you know, I'm here to do a job. You know what I mean? So I try not to let other circumstances affect that. But I have no doubt in my mind that I wouldn't be here if I didn't have the upbringing that I had.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? When I first read this script, it really kind of blew me away, because it's like coming home for me. You know, I grew up, you know, my dad was a Baptist preacher, and I grew up in church every day, and then I went off to theater school and did a lot of the typical rebellious things that a preacher's kid would do.
Yeah, like most of us.
Like most of us, exactly. Like most humans would do. So it's been years, if I could be honest, since I've kind of been back in that world. And this to me is like it all comes full circle.
Yeah.
You know, I don't think I would have connected to the script or understood the script or been as passionate about it, this project, if I didn't grow up the way I grew up. And so for me, it's, I don't know if therapeutic is the right word, but it's been incredible. I've never worked so close to home.
Yeah.
I mean, my parents are like 5 hours away.
Yeah, totally cool.
So for me, it's been really, really cool to you know, be back in the Midwest or be back in this world or be, this is home for me. This
You're
is,
a long
this
way from New York City here.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So I'm loving it. It's gonna be sad, you know, to let this go. You know, we're on set right now. Got a few more days, but it's been great. It's been great for me.
Final question.
Yes, sir.
What are your hopes and your dreams for this movie? I mean, there's a lot of angles to this. The whole father-son dynamic. You know, it's being pushed hard in the faith arena. But based on your getting to know Bart, knowing John and Andy Irwin the way you do, and playing this part and knowing the essence of the story, which is an incredible story, mind-boggling story. What are your hopes? What are your dreams for I Can Only Imagine?
Yeah, I think as a fan of Bart and Mercy Me and the song, I hope that it has a similar impact that the song did. You know, it was kind of released in the Christian world, and then slowly it made its way out into the mainstream and touched a lot of people's lives. And I would hope that this movie has a similar effect. You know, I sure hope that the Christian network latches onto this movie. But this is a powerful story, and I think this has a chance to have a really huge impact in the mainstream world, which is where we're releasing it. And then as an artist, you know, you can't please everybody all the time. So I really don't get caught up on, I need everyone to love it, or I'd be, you know, but I hope it affects people. That's why we make movies. That's why we perform on stage, is to give somebody an experience. It's therapeutic for me. And whether you're sitting in a seat at a theater or at a movie theater, I hope it's therapeutic for you.
Yeah.
And I appreciate that John Michael was talking about the impact, you know, therapeutic. I would like to use a different word, but, you know, this is a young man that's on a faith journey. Obviously, this is Steve Noble back here in the studio. And again, I apologize for the bad sound quality there. I had to use my iPhone. We were in a bad situation up there in terms of location. Didn't have great sound stuff. Didn't have the right equipment with me. It was kind of guerrilla warfare radio there. But he's talking about, you know, therapeutic. He's talking about impact. He's talking about reach. And I know this will really reach into your heart. It's a great movie to bring lost people to, or even people that you know have relationships that have gone south that need reconciliation, maybe broken relationships that they have no hope for. But there's always hope. That's the hope of God. That's the hope of Christ. That's the hope of the gospel. That's the hope that we find through the power of the Holy Spirit and through God's word itself. And so I really just, again, I can't say it enough. Please get out tonight, tomorrow, Sunday, and get out and see I Can Only Imagine, and use it to bring up conversations. It's a great precursor. It's kind of pre-evangelism to talk about reconciliation, the ultimate reconciliation between sinful man and our Lord and our God and our Creator. So please take advantage of it. And just an incredible movie. Super, super powerful. Let's do what we can to make sure it stays in the theaters to have the massive impact that I know God wants it to have. So go see I Can Only Imagine this weekend. This is Steve Noble. I'll be talking to you live from Florida next week. I love you. Have a great weekend. Go see I Can Only Imagine. And God willing, we'll talk again real soon.